God's grace, His mercy, and the power of the Holy Spirit be in you today from God our Father. Amen. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about the church. What is it? What did God have in mind when He created it? Who are we really? And how do you see the church? Let me phrase it in these ways. Are we just a meeting place, a social meeting place for friends? Or are we a band of brothers? Are we a place for entertainment, to be entertained by Pastor Greg and his sermons? Or are we a place where we come together to serve? Are we a wandering group of weirdos, as Hollywood often teaches of the Christian church? Or are we a people with a divine mission and a calling from God? Are we a country club? Or are we an army? And the way I'd really like to phrase it today is, are we a cruise ship or are we a battleship? Think about that. Is the church a cruise ship or a battleship? What can we say about this, and what does God say? Because that's the really important thing. We want to have His perspective. If we can get an understanding of how God sees the church, it's going to change how we see ourselves and how we act and how we live and how we hold fast to Christ. So, there it is. What's the question? Are we a cruise ship or a battleship as the people of the church of God? What should we say? Well, let's take a look at the scriptures and see what God teaches us there. God answers this question to us very clearly in His word, and we'll start out in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Peter says this, and this is the Holy Spirit speaking through him, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, as you may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So what do we learn about the church right there? It ain't a building, first off, right? I mean, when I see Beth and I say, "Hey, I'm going to church," we talk that way. It's the building, we talk about it that way. The Bible never talks about it that way. It's the people of God who've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And so we are a people redeemed by Jesus Christ, loved by Jesus Christ, saved by Jesus Christ, to sit around on our duffs and do nothing the rest of our lives. No, to declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light with a mission, a saved people with a mission. So a people, that's the first thing. But what kind of people are we? What kind of people are we as the church? Are we cruise ship passengers, or are we battleship sailors, armed to fight, according to God? What does God say about this? Well, let's take a look at some scriptures here. Let's take that one out. We can go to Ephesians here. Ephesians chapter 6. You tell me, cruise ship or battleship? Ready? Here we go. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on that you may be able to, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we're not contending against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, world rulers of this present darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Is that a cruise ship passenger to you? You know, pass me another strawberry daiquiri upon the Lido deck. God says here, if you will, that we are battleship sailors sailing into a fight as His people. And we got to get that into our minds. It's so easy to think on the cruise ship mentality. Are we a people, sailors on a battleship, in peacetime or in wartime? Because that's a big difference, isn't it? Well, once again, we can turn to the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 10. We read, "For though we live in the world, we're not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." What are we here to do? We're to destroy as the church. What are we destroying? Proud arguments, every lie that exalts itself against the word of God. We're to proclaim the wonderful deeds of Him who called us out of darkness to light. So what are we? sailors in peacetime or wartime, according to God? Wartime, according to God. Get that into your minds this morning. We need to. Remember, Jesus beat Satan at the cross, but Jesus is continually battling against him through the church in saving souls and reaching out to help the poor, in feeding people, in promoting justice in the world, and righteousness and peace and mercy and such things. Now, next question, is the church still really like a battleship? Okay, we're warriors and we're fighting, but is the church as a whole like a battleship? Well, of course, they didn't have battleships in biblical days, right? I mean, at least as we know them in World War II. But listen to what Paul says here and just see the similarity in language that you can find here between 1 Timothy 3:14. 2, I believe. He says, I'm writing these instructions to you so that if I am delayed, you may know how and not to behave in the church household of God, the church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the bulwark of the truth. Say that, pillar and bulwark of the truth. Now say it like you're on a battleship and not a cruise ship. We are the pillar and the bulwark of the truth. Right? What is a bulwark? I looked that word up in the dictionary because we don't use it often. It's a solid wall-like structure raised for defense, a rampart, a breakwater, a seawall, a strong support or protection, the side of a ship above the upper deck. So are we a battleship according to the word of God? Absolutely. We are a strong wall of defense in all the world, holding fast the word of life in the truth of Jesus. And Wikipedia defines a battleship as this. It's a large armored warship with a main battery consisting of heavy caliber guns. During the late 19th and 20th centuries, the battleship was the most powerful type of warship, and a fleet of battleships was vital for any nation which desired to maintain command of the sea. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he gives it to the church to go forward and save souls. And so we're a battleship, such as God's church, what's called in theology, the church militant, before we enter into the rest of our labors in heaven. So the next thing we need to understand from the word of God, which the Holy Spirit would teach us today, is beware, beware. Because the Holy Spirit says, in the last days, many will turn the battleship into cruise ships. And singing and entertaining and having a fine and dandy time. Still thinking they're a battleship, but not being it in truth. Now, where do we read that in the Bible? We can read that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Listen very carefully to what the Holy Spirit predicted. He says, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word, be urgent in season, out of his season, convince, rebuke, and exhort, for be unfailing in patience and in teachings, for, watch this, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own liking. And will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. But as for you, always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. In other words, be a battleship pastor, Timothy. But the time is coming when people will be cruise ship pastors. What is a cruise ship pastor like? You all know Carnival. How many churches are Carnival cruise lines today? God help us not to be one ourselves. It's easy. It's a place for fun. It's a place for entertaining. It's entertainment. To have a good time, to say, hey, what's in it for me? What am I getting out of church? Are my needs getting met? Is this a nice and comfortable cruise? Does the pastor entertain me and not ask much of me? I can come and be there for an hour a week, and that's just all lovely, fine and dandy. You know, I went on a cruise ship once. I'm not talking about my sailing career, but when I first got here as a pastor, first arrived in the LCMS, Christ Lutheran, our first pastor's conference that year in 2005 was on a cruise ship. And I thought, yes! I'm like, I have come to the right district of the LCMS church. I remember sitting at dinner, another lobster bisque, sir? Oh, yes, that'd be great, thank you. Another roast duck, sir? Oh, make that too. And then after eating to a gluttonous content, there's the entertainment. Is there the comedian on the Lido deck or the shuffleboard on the Acapulco deck? How many churches become like this? Which shall I choose? Life is so hard. Am I comfortable? Am I well fed? But there's no longer attack, which the church is called to do, to turn its forward batteries and fire upon lies and to face controversial issues head on and to rescue souls from the clutches of the slave ships of the devil. That's what we're here to do. The way you can tell whether we're being a cruise ship or a battleship is how many souls are we saving? How many deeds are we doing? You know, for the Lord. The cruise ship's job, cruise ship captain's job, say that five times fast, is to make everything comfortable for the crew, to run a neat and orderly ship that everybody's very proud of. It's spick and span. My compliments, Captain, on keeping your ship so spick and span. That's the Bugs Bunny. Life is easy on a cruise ship where the captain tickles their ears, as Paul says, with music and words to entertain, but does nothing about really damaging the devil's kingdom and saving souls. No mission, no enemy, just sail around a little and have fun. Call yourself a battleship. Is this the church to you? And I want to ask you a question as Christ Lutheran, okay? You to me, is this how we want to pull into the port in heaven on the last day? An answer to the admiral of the fleet when I have to turn in my log and give an account of our sailing and we all stand before him? What do we want to say in that day that we've done? Do you hear the call to duty this morning from our God? And are we on guard against becoming a cruise ship? Because I want to tell you something. The temptation is right there for all of us. Yeah, church is just out on Sunday. I don't really do anything for it. Don't contribute. And I'm not pouring out my all, striving to win. The church is called to pour out their heart, their soul, their strength, their mind, to strain forward with all the energy which he mightily inspires within me, as Paul says in Colossians, straining forward for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, as he says in Philippians, with all our strength, straining to win, for victory, to hold fast the faith, to save souls. Is that how we're living as Christ Lutheran? I think we got a lot in our favor, but we have the temptation. Yes, even I myself, to be a cruise ship captain. So how can we avoid being cruise ship Christians in a cruise ship church? Well, first of all, let's acknowledge that we have an enemy. Cruise ship churches don't acknowledge that they have an enemy. They sail around through the world as if they have no one to fight, as if no one is coming against them and everything's perfectly happy and peaceful. Whereas a battleship crew is ever standing watch, ever scanning the horizon to see signs of enemy shipping, ever scanning the sea to see if there's a periscope nearby, because the enemy is a master of subtlety. And he comes and, do you think he has plans against our church? Do you think he hears that we're making some inroads against his kingdom? And do you think he has plans to sink us? He absolutely does. Let's stand watch and keep alert. Peter says, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, say adversary. Adversary. The devil is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith. A roaring lion. That's what Peter says. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, it says in 1 John chapter 3. That's his purpose. Jesus contended against him all his life. Satan is ruthless. He's deceptive. When you don't think he's there, he's there. He's crafty. He's a lion because he wants to eat and destroy and to ravage. And he's no one to be trifled with. Cruise ship, they sail away into oblivion. And Satan's already won the match there. But Paul says, don't forget we're contending not against flesh and blood, not against people. We're not against people. We're against the things behind people in the unseen heavenly realm, spiritual hosts of wickedness, demons, fallen angels. We're in a great contest of the ages. We've got to get that into our minds as the church. And that helps us to get out of the cruise ship, pass me the strawberry daiquiri mentality. Because instead, pass me the binoculars. Let me stand my watch at the helm. Let me stand my watch at the guns. Let me be in the engine room. Let me be wherever it is to promote our ship winning and staying safe. Do you think we can hit enemy shipping? How about destroyers? Are there enemy devils and demons out there trying to destroy souls? You see it every day in Cape Canaveral. You can see the bloodshed in people's souls, how damaged and sorrowful and broken they are. Do you think we can hit their enemy supply lines that are fueling these enemy ships? The lies of evolution and abortion, that the Bible's not true, and all those kinds of Jesus is not the only way to heaven type of teaching? We got to destroy, turn our guns and blast them with what? It is written, it is written, it is written. The cruise ship sails away from battle. This cruise stands no watch. They're not at their guns, they're not prepared, and they don't even believe in him, the devil. When I was at the ELCA seminary for a short time in Gettysburg, you know, the other Lutheran body, one of the pastors, the professor of systematic theology there, taught the devil's not real. Just a figment of people's imagination. Then one of the conservative students was miffed, and he knows her to be a liberal women's feminist movement person, so he raises his hand. Well, this is another class, but he says, the devil's, isn't she a really bad being? In my 18 years growing up in the Episcopal Church, I never heard the devil once mentioned from the pulpit. In the Barna Research survey recently, not too long ago, only 35% of American Christians believe in the devil as a real being. 65% don't even think he's real. What's that mean? 65% of the fleet is already totally disarmed. They are steering out into the oblivion of the Pacific Ocean away from battle. The devil doesn't even go after them. Give them a nice life, sure. They're no damaging to me. I'm going to concentrate on the 35 or less that are standing against me. So we need to stand up against the devil and these things in the great contest. And the next thing we can do to make sure that we're not a cruise ship church, but a battleship, pray for me. Pray for your pastor. As goes the captain, so goes the ship. Remember, in the last days, there'll be pastors doing what? Tickling ears. Singing up a nice song up here. Strumming away, and you're like, great sermon. Awesome illustrations. But you go away, no better for it. The time is coming, says Paul, when there no longer be Admiral Nimitz, but Captain Steubing of the love boat. There'll be no longer General Patton, but there'll be Julie the cruise director. There will no longer be the Battle of Trafalgar in Midway, but let's entertain him into the kingdom, right? And isn't that the temptation in a lot of churches these days? We can't get people to come into the church by the word of God. Of course, they're not even doing that. And God help us, we can't point the finger all the time. But let's entertain him into the kingdom. Let's get him into discussions. But well, it's not teaching the word of God. Let's just leave that for some future date when maybe they might be ready to hear it. Is that the way our captain and admiral lived his life? Jesus, all through his life, it is written. This is the word. Take it or leave it. This is the kingdom of God. And he declares it straight up. That's what we got to do. The devil wants to say, oh, entertain him into the church. Win him by coffee shops. Win him by some other nice program for your children. But when people are looking for the church, they should be looking for a place where the word of God is preached rightly and powerfully. And hits on the topics that we need to talk about. And I need your prayers for this, to preach the word, to be urgent and in season and out of season, to do my work as an evangelist, to fulfill my ministry, to endure suffering. And we need to endure suffering together. Paul says, pray for me that utterance may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Paul needed prayer. I need prayer. And I'll pray for you so that we all proclaim that word together. Why did King Saul get removed from his post as captain of Israel? Samuel says, "Why did you not obey the voice of the Lord?" And King Saul said to Samuel, "Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Think about that. Why do a lot of pastors tickle ears and not preach the truth on hard subjects? Because they're afraid. Some of them just because they don't believe it, and they're just traitors in the post of captains. They're really enemy captains. But I remember a pastor I've heard of up north. "Why do you preach on homosexuality ever?" Not that that's an everyday subject, but do you ever preach on it? "No." "Why?" "It's too controversial. Stir up my church too much." Well, what is that? "Because I feared the people. I did not obey the voice of the Lord." So I'm asking your prayers that I would not be so. A cruise ship captain will run a good boat. You can go to a lot of churches and everything is great. They're going to win by an impressive building, entertainment. They're going to have a different service for every different person, just like a CEO or a worldly salesman. We're going to have the traditional service. Or do you want the contemporary? Or how about the 30-something? How about the blended service? How about our jazz service or our orchestral service? Did you know that we have a ski group and a tennis team and a softball league? Your kids will be very happy here. We have a Starbucks and a Chick-fil-A, as even some churches I think I've heard of in Texas or something like that. We'll get them by great advertising, by positive, non-offending messages, and we'll have a visitor gift bag for you, and we'll give you a gift, and when you arrive, you'll come to our visitor's table, and it'll be just like you're checking into the Radisson. "Hi, how can we make your stay more pleasurable here? If there's anything we can do, just let us know." A battleship is different. It's a place where we serve, where we sweat, where we pour everything we are to win together, together for the Lord. The word, the word, the word. We can have a nice church. We can have a visitor's packet. I'm not saying these things are bad, or even a coffee shop, which we don't have, which we could have. But the point is, a battleship captain is here not to fear his people, but to lead his men. And if he'll lead his men in what is true, the crew, I believe, will respect him for it and follow him into any danger, into any battle, because they know he's following the captain's sailing orders, that is, the admiral's sailing orders. He doesn't fear men. He reveres Jesus Christ. And that's what I aim to do. That's why I aim to preach as best as I can on these things, because I don't want to fear people. I want to fear the Lord and be ready to give an account. Thus says the Lord. So pray God help me to do it. And then also, we can guard against this by asking yourselves, what is the church giving or doing for me, but what am I giving and contributing to the church? A cruise ship, Christians are always focused on me, 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 me. The songs are I, myself, and I, and the self. We ought to be using the word we in our language. What can I do for us? "I don't account my life of any value," says Paul, "nor as precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Isn't that fantastic? Say amen. Amen. Devoted to a risky ride. Are you willing to risk, to suffer, to pour out your strength in a self-sacrifice kind of way for the good of the ship? What did Jesus say? "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's a battleship captain. That's a battleship crew. John Paul Jones said, "I want nothing to do with a ship that will not sail fast, for I mean to steer in harm's way." What if I told you that today? I mean to steer Christ Lutheran into harm's way. How many would stay in church at that point when we start getting persecuted, when we get our radio show out there? You know, we're not going to start with all the controversial ones, but if you at Christ Lutheran only come on Sunday, and that's just 1 hour a week, and you're happy to do nothing but to listen only, then that is the same as saying, "Pass me the gray poupon." Ask yourselves, what can I do? And I want to ask you, when we pull this ship of His Majesty's ship, Christ Lutheran, into the port of heaven on that day when we will get there and give an account of ourselves and tie up to the dock, and see the admiral of the fleet, do we want our ammunition stores full? Do we want our bank account pumped up and overflowing and unused with not a scratch upon our boat? as you try to pick the last piece of fried chicken out of your mouth with a toothpick before he asks you a question? Or should we come in looking damaged, with signs of battle everywhere, with our decks strafed by gunfire, with gunpowder and gun smoke and grease upon our faces, and we get to stand up and give in our port room 7 animated destroyers strunk, 2 battleships and 1 cruiser, sir. 50,000 refugees have been fed, and 1 million have been brought to Jesus Christ in salvation. And all hands accounted for, sir. That's what I want to hand into them. And that's what we can do together when we use the word we with a battleship crew focused on winning and victory, because we're in a great contest within a great exchange of powerful gunnery, but you know that there's a crown at the end, the crown of life stored up for those who have followed Jesus Christ. And watch this. Paul says the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. And we are a powerful church with a powerful word. Though small, we can do great feats because the Lord is with us. And I want to say, as I'm getting toward the close here, I am proud to be a captain of this great ship. Last week, we had 177 people here on Friendship Sunday, which you increased by 40 people or so from the previous Sunday because you asked. And Food for the Poor was here recently. We gave them gifts to feed the poor in the Caribbean countries. And then Don suggested, how about we use our Thrive and Choice scholars to build a house and feed a family for a year? And then that gift was matched by an anonymous donor. That's 2 houses. Les says, I'm selling my house in Cape Canaveral. I'll tithe some of that. We'll build another house. And that's matched. That's 4 houses from Christ Lutheran. And then Les steps up with some courage of a battleship sailor to the board last Wednesday night and said, I propose we build another 3 houses and feed another 3 families for a whole year. And those gifts were matched, so that's 6 more houses. From little tiny His Majesty's ship Christ Lutheran, we've gotten 10 houses so far and fed 10 families for a year. I challenge you, how about another one? Is there anybody else out there? Or maybe 2? Those gifts will be matched. Let's increase it. This is sending armament and shells into the devil's kingdom to rescue. How about the radio show? We're starting that in March. You have the chance today to contribute just right on the bottom of your check to the radio ministry. And we're trying to raise $4,000 to get the radios on the sermons on the air for a year. And on the internet, we're going to reach millions, I believe. We're starting a prayer ministry on Tuesdays, 12 to 1. Come here and let's pray for the community. 12 to 1 Tuesday. Friday Fest, food pantry, etc. Let's spend our ammunition. Let's get in and say, we have nothing left here, sir. We've spent everything on the enemy, and we've rescued souls, and we have followed Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, listen, I'm getting to a close. It is fun to be part of a cruise ship. It's fun to the senses, but it is inspiring to be part of a battleship crew that is active in the King's Navy. And Jesus has promises triumph and victory unto victory as he leads us as more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. And you know our King himself, our great Admiral of the fleet, has laid down his life for you. He loves you. He has saved you. You know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news by Jesus Christ. Jesus went about filled by the Holy Spirit with power, doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And to him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through faith, through his name. So we're a few, but we are a happy few, a band of brothers to strive side by side and sticking to our guns, that we may say with Paul at the end of our cruise, at the end of our tour, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Amen.